You know what I really love? I love to watch new dads, new fathers. Telling you what, man. Place is packed with these new dads, man. Busting out with new dads. I love it, man. There is, you know, especially a father and his son, a father and his little boy, man. There is nothing like that. Even especially rookie dads, man. They're the best. You know, I think we got pictures up there, don't we? Yeah. I was going to put Dennis and Benjamin too, but he told me on Facebook he forbid me to, so oh well. Don't you love that? Don't you just love to watch them love their son? I mean, it's magical, if I can use that word, if you don't mind. There's just something transcendent about the chemistry of love between a dad and his newborn son. You know, I love to watch Matt just hold little Seth in his arms and just, you know, love on that little boy. I'll really love to watch RJ because RJ's a rookie, man. He's green. You can tell in the picture, you know, he's so careful. He just doesn't want to hurt the little guy, you know. I remember when Laura was born, she was in the NICU for a month or so. And them nurses would just slap her around, man. They'd pick her up, flop her over like a pancake, flop her back over on the other side, poke her with stuff and all that kind of stuff. They didn't think twice about it. But, you know, a new dad, man, especially a rookie dad, man, he'll hold that thing so tender and just, you know, coddle it and make sure he's holding the head and barely breathe, you know, because he doesn't want to bother it, you know, from his rib cage. It's great, man. It's entertaining, but it's beautiful, too. It is really beautiful. Amen? Don't you agree? Man. I mean, even moms, they're very nurturing, but they're very natural at it. You know, they're just, oh, come on here. But dads are just like, oh. And we were having lunch at the Queenstown Pizzeria right down the road here, which is really, you know, Yesterday, we were down there. Some of us good friends were down there talking to eating some pizza and calzones and stuff. We were talking about this whole idea of fatherhood and sonship. This stuff is meaty, man. I don't know why I'm talking about food all night. I'm sorry, but this is meaty, man. I mean, we were eating pizza, but we were feasting on these principles and concepts of fatherhood and sonship, and particularly as it relates to God as our Father, as Christians. Our relationship to God as our Father, His fatherhood, and our sonship in Him. Now, the Bible is clear. Not everyone on the world is a child of God. We are all made in His image. Yes, absolutely. And all life is sacred for that reason. But we are not, as the Bible says, all children of God. However, it does promise us that if we will turn from sin, repent of sin and put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because of what He did on the cross in dying for our sins and rising from the dead. If we will turn from sin and put our faith in Him, Scripture is also clear that through that we can become sons and daughters of God, children of God, that He will wash away our sin completely clean, past, present, and future, that He will regenerate us, put His Spirit inside of us and recreate us anew, give us a new heart, a new life, a new name, a new destiny, a new power, a new relationship, a new home, a new citizenship. He will make all things new, and we will enter into an everlasting relationship with God as our daddy, as our father, our Abba. Isn't that awesome? Love that. No other religion on the planet teaches that. Islam teaches that God cannot be a father. He can only be a ruler. And so they have a strict, stringent set of rules for people to obey in order to try to earn God's favor or affection. Buddhism teaches that God cannot be a father because God is not a person. In Buddhism, God is a universal energy or force. And in fact, Buddhist leaders would tell you that Westerners would consider, if they were honest about it, would consider Buddhism a form of atheism because they don't see God as a personal figure who can be a father who can love you personally. He is more of an it than a he. But the Bible says that through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can become children of God, sons and daughters of God, with all of the rights, with all of the benefits, with all of the blessing, with all of the relational goodness that comes with being a child of the living God. It refers to it as our inheritance in Christ. Now, yesterday at lunch, we were talking about the fact that people who have not grown up with a loving, tender father, this concept of God being that kind of father may be very foreign to them. They may not have ever experienced in their life what it's like to have a dad who takes the time to listen to them and enjoy them and cherish them and be interested in them and tender with them. If all they have ever known is abuse and intimidation and violence and fear and domination, then they carry that baggage into their relationship with God psychologically. And when they pray the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," it means probably a whole lot different than for someone who has had the privilege of growing up under a tender, compassionate, loving father. They bring a whole different psychological perspective to that relationship. Can you kind of get a feel for that? And I want to say this, not only that, but even many Christians who have had a loving father, they may still not understand the fullness and the richness of God's love for them as a father because they still see God as a harsh ruler or some kind of fierce judge that is just watching their every move. Because even though they say the words father, maybe through their religion and their religious upbringing, they've been taught to see God in a very legalistic sense that although they call him father, and although they have had loving, tender fathers, yet they have been taught through religion, dead religion, that God is a fierce judge, a harsh ruler who is sitting up there waiting for them to mess up so he can just smack them down. And so they live their lives in fear and anxiety because they feel like, well, what can I do? He's God, and I am so far from perfect, and though I try and try and try and try, I mess up inevitably. And so I just live under a constant, crushing sense of condemnation from God that I just cannot make him happy. Martin Luther, even a giant like Martin Luther, before he really came to the realization that we are truly saved by the grace of God through faith, Martin Luther was tormented by his fear, his morbid fear of God. He had been brought up in that religious system to believe that he had to be perfect to please God, down to the minutest precision of religion. And because he was a man of conscience, because he was a man of principle, he strove to do that, and he realized when he fell so horribly short just how far short he had fallen, and he lived in constant fear and terror and anxiety in his relationship to God until one day God in his mercy gloriously revealed to him, "Martin, I love you. You please me. It is by my grace that you are saved, my free gift of grace. Just trust me and love me, and you will be saved." And he changed the course of history, literally changed the face of the planet when he began to fearlessly proclaim that. Almost got killed because of it. I mean, he was brought before the Inquisition. They almost burned him at the stake. But it was worth the risk because that truth is so liberating. That is the gospel. That's what we are saved by. That's why we come in here and just act like a bunch of maniacs and shout and praise and worship God, because he is so good and his love is so rich. And I'm just starting to scratch the surface, man. I hope today I can unpack just a glimpse of the richness and the beauty and the glory of God's love for every single person sitting in this room, particularly if you are a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Man, I just want to rip the cover off of that thing and spill the contents out on the ground. We can all just dive in, man, and have a hallelujah party. I'm serious, man. Praise God. God wants us to respond to Him in a relationship of love and allow Him to transform us by His grace from the inside out. It's not about Him sitting over us with a hammer waiting to smack us down. It's about Him living in us and through us and changing us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. So praise God. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, we're going to continue our new study of the book of the Gospel of Mark. And today I want to look at how vitally important, how critical it is for us to understand all of the richness and fullness and the beauty of our relationship to God as our loving, tender Father. And us as His children, His sons and daughters in Christ. This is the issue that Satan battles us, believe it or not, although we may not realize it all the time, this is the issue that Satan battles us so hard about, because he knows that if we realize and understand and lay hold of our sonship in Christ and everything that means, that we will become dangerous as Christians. We will become mighty tools and instruments in the hand of God, and we will transform our world around us because God will flood us with everything that it means to be a son or a daughter in Christ. So Satan just fights, man. Because he doesn't want you to understand this stuff. I'm not saying this like some kind of pep rally. Truly, he does not want you to understand what your sonship in Christ is all about. Praise God. We will be unstoppable, man. This church, there is nothing that could stand in our way if each one of us grasped everything that that meant. It would revolutionize your family, your home, your career, your destiny. Amen? All right. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 9. It came to pass in those days, thank you, Lord, that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. And was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Praise God. We talked about this last week a little bit. We talked about the fact that in that moment when it says the heavens parted, God literally rended or ripped the heavens apart like an invasion, and the Spirit of God came down in glorious form like a dove and just baptized Christ in the Holy Spirit, saturated him with power. The Bible says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's what God did in that moment.